he's a coward. The president of South Africa is a coward. And we can't tolerate these things that happen here in South Africa. Amongst us Arab, we are poor people. And they target the poor people. No matter color, they're using us. That's why if we are together, we're going to bring this government down.
From Sunday, we've not received any tankers at all to assist the community to their places of employment. Children needed to get back to schools. And unfortunately, there was no water. They were promised water in their taps at 3 o'clock this morning. And we cannot have a community treated like orphans.
Catch all the latest local, provincial to national news updates on the afternoon current affairs. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 1 o'clock afternoon. Radio and FM.
Good afternoon to you. It is 12 minutes past one and a very warm welcome to all our listeners at Radio NFM Current Affairs, the platform where we as NFM News go beyond the headlines to unpack the issues that shape our communities, our province and our country. This is NFM 98.1, the trusted voice of the Namaqua people, where trust, accountability and community development remain at the heart of everything that we do. This program is dedicated to informed dialogue, critical analysis and giving a voice to those whose stories matter. I am Marcelino MacDonald, and for the next hour, we'll be bringing you in-depth conversations, discussions, expert insights, and community perspectives on the pressing social, economic, political, and developmental matters affecting our lives today. We turn our attention to a major legal and economic story that is making waves in the Northern Cape and beyond. State-owned mining company AlexCor is facing a massive 500 million rand million rand damages claim after losing a series of court battles over prospecting rights in the Richtersveld municipality. Now, the case raises serious questions about governance, investor confidence, community impact, and also the cost of prolonged legal disputes involving public entities. Now, to help us unpack on what happened, what it means, and what could happen next, we are joined by Sunday Times journalist Sabelo Skiti, who reported extensively on this case. Good afternoon, Sabelo. How are you?
Good afternoon, Marcelino. I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Amazing stuff. Can you please summarize for our listeners what exactly happened in the AlexCor versus the AlexCor dispute that led to this 500 million rand damages claim?
So this is a, you know, I remember when I was just going through the stuff, and I mean, I've been going through the papers related to this for quite a while now. I think you'd call it about 2 months since I've had some of these documents.
Okay.
It basically relates to a situation where you had vast mineral sands, you know, doing all the right things, getting the right permissions and certifications and approvals, you know, to start prospecting on land that is owned by AlexCor. And what these guys are basically prospecting for is heavy mineral sands. Mm. And I mean, you would know better than I that some of these, you know, minerals that you can extract there are not only important in sort of like the manufacturing of things like tiles and paint. Some of them are actually going to play quite a key role in what we call, you know, the growing tech, you know, sort of stage that we're at as a growing world, renewable energy as well as AI driven, you know, sort of equipment and infrastructure. So this was what I think a great sort of like development for that part of the world where you know, traditionally, you know, it was traditional mining that was, you know, bringing in the money, and this was now a new sort of thing that could have led to possibly hundreds of jobs. Instead of this being welcomed by AlexCor, they then did everything in their power, it looks, to basically stop this from happening, despite there being, you know, the right paperwork, as I'd said, and the proper channels followed. They went all the way up to the Constitutional Court, appealing, basically finding after finding, which was basically asserting vast mineral sands right to actually mine, to actually prospect and hopefully get to a point where they start mining there.
I see. Now, can you describe the basis of VMS's claim that AlexCor acted unlawfully and without reasonable justification, VMS being vast mineral sands?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's exactly like I said. VMS were able to show that from about 2018, they got the proper permissions, including the DMRE, DMRE, which is the regulator, to basically undertake this work and prospect there. Ever since that has happened, there was then this seeming tension between themselves and Alexco. And I think it's quite important to actually point out at this juncture that what was also quite bizarre, you know, in my view, was the fact that, remember, Alexco mines there as a joint venture. So it's Alexco and then the Richtersveld Mining Corporation, which is basically made up, you know, of structures that represents the communities where that mining is taking place. Now, what came out in my in my sort of looking at this thing is that there was a division in that joint venture, in the sense that it was only Alexco that was pursuing all of the litigation over the years, which has run into the millions of rands, by the way. And the other half of the partner was of the view that this might be important for the community. We might be able to get some sort of, you know, in the value chain, might get our people employed. I think at some point they'd even spoken about some sort of equity that the community was going to get there. You know, So that was one part of it. And obviously, when VMS started experiencing the problems that they were experiencing, they then go back to the Department of Mineral Resources and they ask them to come and intervene, you know, as sort of like an arbitration that is allowed for in legislation. When that happens, DMRE reaffirms their right and it says that you guys basically did all the right things to get the approvals for you guys to do this prospecting. And then still, bizarrely, Alexco still sort of puts in moves and ways to obstruct them to a point where they then go to the High Court in Kimberley, where again that right is asserted. You know, so you are looking at a situation here where, and I think it's quite unfortunate that Alexco has still not taken us into their confidence about what sort of governance took place that led to the decisions that were being taken, you know, being taken. Were there full board meetings? Were there resolutions? What informed those resolutions? Was there any sort of legal advice that was given, especially given the noises we're hearing about the fact that the other half of the joint venture was not in support of the litigation?
And from your research, Sabelo, did you find any indication of why Alexco continued to fight access even after losing multiple court decisions?
So, you know, and I think the answer for me lies in some of how, you know, the Alexco board actually responded to our queries. One of the things that they talk about is that they took into cognizance the SIU, Parliament and the department. And now, if you look at that, you would remember that there was a time when Alexco, and I think Alexco still is an entity that is under investigation through proclamation from the president by the SIU, and that investigation relates to allegations of state capture going back to the time I think when Alexco had set up a diamond marketing company that was apparently not done following the proper, you know, channels and legislation that governed that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there were those allegations that, you know, there was, you know, a lot of money flowing from the sale of diamonds that didn't flow back into the coffers of Alexco, you know. So I don't know now how those two things, you know, merge. But it seems as if there is now currently on the new board. You remember this board was appointed in 2024-2025. And it now looks as if they are now finding themselves in a position where, even though they're not clear on what is actually happening, it's that thing of people being paralyzed. You know, you've seen it in a lot of SOEs that had trouble during the Jacob Zuma presidency. Entities like Eskom, entities like Transnet, they all go through a phase or a period where leadership is almost paralyzed from taking decisions because they might be, you know, labeled or painted with a certain brush. Now, I don't know to what extent this you know, is involved in this particular case. But you certainly see it in a thing where you ask an Alex Koov, what's the way forward now that the Concord fight has been lost? The board still doesn't perform its fiduciary duties. It instead passes this thing on to a parliament and says that we've written to parliament for a way forward. What do we do now? We are looking at a R500 million damages claim. Do we negotiate or do we start a new litigation around this thing? And it's almost like they're passing the buck, essentially. You know, now they're saying that parliament must be the ones that must instruct us. And I think this is quite a sad thing, you know, when it happens, because for me, at the center of all of this is development in that part of the world, you know.
And
this is, for me, again, you know, it's a very painful situation, because you've got communities that are presiding over land that are mineral rich. But yet you've got, you know, this disjuncture in government policy, where on one hand the president will stand up and will talk about the need to rejuvenate the economy, to kickstart the economy, create jobs, and then you've got entrepreneurs that come with ideas of how that can be done. As I'd said to you, I mean, right now, some of these heavy mineral sands are sought after by the biggest economies in the world. You know, some of the tensions that we're seeing in the world right now, and particularly in Africa, are around some of these rare earths, you know. So you've got a time where a community can actually almost kickstart development there through job creation, through investment in the value chain, you know, all of that. But at the same time, you then again have a state entity.
Yeah.
You know, there is not a private player that's trying to assert its, you know, dominance in an area and make sure that they kick everyone else out. This is a state-owned entity, one of whose, you know, principles should be that beyond profits and all of that, we also want to see development in our community.
Yeah.
I would have thought that they would have welcomed this sort of initiative.
Interesting. Sabela, our time is almost up. I'd like to add one more question to our conversation. So what are the next steps now that this damages demand exists? Is there an expectation of settlement, further litigation, or government intervention? What can we expect?
Well, I think this is the thing, you know, for me, that, you know, is still sort of quite worrying, is the fact that we've gone all the way. And like I said, this has taken, it's been a while in the building, but there doesn't seem to be any sort of indication. The only thing I can tell you is that this now rests in Minister Mantashe's office. It now rests in Parliament. They are the ones that supposedly must do the job that the Board of Alexco should have done in the first place and make a call on what happens here. But what, no matter what happens, government is going to be the loser here, because if they manage to stave off the damages claim and come to some sort of agreement, I'm sure that VMS, being a private entity, is not going to sign it, because they've got the upper hand. They're not going to sign an agreement that is not going to benefit them, you know. And again, for me, you know, I cannot overemphasize this. This is something that was completely avoidable, you know, because the courts have, all the way up to the Constitutional Court, they've basically said that whatever it is that you think VMS might or might not have done, you don't have enough to convince. You know, it would not be in the interest of justice for us not to actually allow them to practice the right that they have, you know. So it's anyone's guess what's really, you know, what's going to happen there, really. But we do know that in no time we should be expecting some sort of direction, either from the courts or from the minister's office on a way forward. And I think it's just completely shameful that, you know, the sort of development that one could hopefully see there is actually being held back by that.
Thank you so much, Sabelo Skiti, for your time this afternoon and helping us to make sense of this very, very complex and important issue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So much.